Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shir Melef Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Kiddushin in the third parak at the second Mishnah, Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Omer Lishar Ben Kodesh Adi Amrat Shaten Lach Matayim Zuz, Harez Ben Kodesh Adi Vuh Yitain. This parallel to a Mishnah we saw in Gittin and the Gemara will analyze that parallel. But if a man gives a woman Kiddushin with the condition that he will pay her a certain amount of money, the Kiddushin are valid and he has to pay her the money. We'll see what the nuance is on that. But if, on the other hand, he stipulates a particular time frame, so then he has to give it to her within that time frame, otherwise it's invalid. The Gemara will discuss why this needs to be stated. If, on the other hand, he says, I'm mekadesh you on condition that I have, that I own matayim zuz, harezu mekudeshet, v'yeshlo, meaning he has to prove that he has it. If he says, on condition I show you 200 zoos, we'll see what the implication is. He has to show it to her. If he shows it to her on a money changer's table, in other words, he showed her 200 zoos, but it's not necessarily his, then that's invalid, because we'll understand that the implication is he shows her 200 zoos of his own. Now back to the first case. Ravuna reads the Mishnah straight up. Ha'mekudeshet means kedushin are valid and he owes her the money. Havuna mar lichshi yitain. No, the kedushin are only valid when he gives her the money. War avuna mar vahu yitain tanahav. It's a regular tanai. Every tanai means that the deal is sealed immediately, and the tanai just must be fulfilled. And if it's not fulfilled, then retroactively the deal is not sealed. Mekayim tanai v'azel. Just that's a fellow's tanai. Havuna mar lichshi yitain, meaning lachiyoyv havi kedushin. What he was saying was, you're bringing kedusha to me when I give you the money. Hashda mi alav kedusha, but it's not kedusha in the meantime. So my benai, what's the difference between Ravun and Rav Yehuda in practice? It's actually pretty easy. When I yoshe pashtay adav kibla kedusha me'achera, in the meantime she accepted kedusha from somebody else. Ravun alav kedusha, because the kedusha already began at the beginning. Rav Yehuda alav kedusha, according to Rav Yehuda, there's no kedusha yet, and therefore the kedusha of the second guy are valid. Now, as I mentioned, nami gabi gittin ke gavna. Mishnah gittin in the seventh parak has the same thing. The inverse here is of her giving him the money. Alright, and what do we have? She owes him the money. The get is only valid when she gives the money. Just like we said in our case. Just like we said in our case. Question is, why do they need to disagree in both places? We'll see that in a minute. My benai, what's the difference between them? If the get got torn up in the meantime, havuna have a get, according to havuna, the get was valid at the first moment. Havuna lo have a get, because until she gives them the money, the get's not valid, and by that time there is no get. Utsricha, why do we need the machloket in both places? If we only had our machloket, we would have said, yeah, Ravuna says here that it's a tanai, mishum to the kruvakati. He wants to come close to her. He wants to bring her close to him. Therefore, he wants to speed that up. But in the case of gerushin, where he's distancing her, and motivated by Rav Yehuda, maybe he agrees with Rav Yehuda, that really he's saying when it happens, and not so quick to get divorced. If we only had the gittin case, I would say, that's where Rav Huna says that the get is valid immediately. He's not embarrassed to sue her for the money that she owes him. And therefore, the get is valid immediately, and then she owes him the money, and he has gemir dat that everything is fine, and that he's going to get the money later. But here, she'll be embarrassed to sue him for the money that he owes her. Therefore, maybe he'll agree with Rav Yehuda that in her mind, the kiddushin aren't valid until she actually gets the money. So tzuricha. Therefore, we need the machloket in two places. Now, meitave, we have a challenge against this. So, in the case of that Mishnah about the get, on condition that she gives him money, even though the get got torn up in the meantime, the gerushin are valid. She can't marry anybody else until she gives the money. If he gave her the get, even though she didn't pay him the 200, then there's no zika. She's totally migureshet. Lo not as kukali avam. If she never gave the money, then there is a zika liibum. Shpagomer notenet leachiv ol aviv ol achad menakovim. She can even pay post mortem. She can pay one of his relatives. So ad kan lo pligi ela demar sabra li velo li yoshai. Tanakama says li means you have to give it to me. Mar sabra fili yoshai. Rashi Gamliel else says no, give it to me means or to my estate. But the kuli ala mi atanahali, but everybody agrees it's a tanai, because according to Rashi Gamliel, you could give the money after his death and the get would still be valid, which means it kicks back to the original moment. Tiyuf to the Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, these two places, these two statements seem to disprove Rav Yehuda. And anytime you say amanachet in the matayim zuz, the get is valid immediately, and then there's a debt. Amalach Rav Yehuda. Here's Rav Yehuda would answer. Hamani, you know who the authority is behind both those statements? Rebbe he. That's Rebbe. Hunam a Rebbe call haomer amanat kamer miachshav dami. Rebbe holds that every time you say amanat, you really mean it's effective immediately, and I'll give you the money. And the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm reading it like Rabbanan. Alright, in Bavel we said that statement of Rebbe, Pligi Rabbanan, the Rabbanan disagree with him. Kisalki lahatamu, when I made Aliyah, Ashkechei the Rabbi Asi, diyatu v'kamer la'mishmeid Rabbi Yochanan. I found Rabbi Asi quoting the great Rabbi Yochanan saying, Hakom odim omer amanat komer me'achshav dami. Everybody agrees with Rabbi that if you say amanat, it's like you said me'achshav. Which means now Rav Yehuda is going to be in a very difficult position because he can no longer explain the brightot or the mishnayot that say that amanat, the get, is retroactive from the moment of giving it. And attribute that to Rebbe and say, but I hold like Rabbanim, because according to this, now everybody agrees with Rebbe. So, lo nechleku ela mihayom ulachar mita. The machloku between Rebbe and Rabbanim is not about almanat, but rather mihayom ulachar mita. Atanya, and this supports it, mihayom ulachar mita, get veino get. Divrei chachamim, Rebbe omer, because that get, we've seen this several times. Alright, so fine, but in the meantime, Rebbe Yehuda demar ba'almanat, nami pligi, Rebbe Yehuda has to disagree and say that Rebbe and Rabbanan disagree about hayom ulachar mita and almanat. Nami pligi hayom ulachar mita and nifligi ba'almanat, so why don't Rebbe and Rabbanan explicitly disagree about almanat instead of disagreeing about mihayom ulachar mita? The answer is, lo'diach ha'koach to Rebbe, to show you how far Rebbe will go, mihayom ulachar mita nami harezeh get, that even with hayom ulachar mita, when you introduce the issue of get lachar mita, nonetheless, Rebbe says it's a valid get. Why don't we show you the machloket about almanat to show you how far the Rabbanan are willing to go? That even in that case, it's not a get until later. The answer is koach tateru adif. We always try to show the koach tateru. We always try to show the lenient position and the excessive, not the, the extremes of the lenient position. All right, a couple little pieces finish up our analysis of this Mishnah. Santenach Mikan said that if the condition is they give money within a certain amount of time, then only if he does so is it valid. Pshita, it's a no-brainer. Smaudatem alav tanahu. Well, this Ruze Kamar, maybe he didn't really make out a tanai of 30 days, and he was just trying to push himself to get it done and not procrastinate. Kamash Maladit is a real tanai. I'm not chasing him out time, Zuz, etc. Venechu Shemiyeshlo. So the Mishnah said that he has to prove he has 200 zoos. Well, why aren't we concerned? Maybe if he has no witnesses, he still may have 200 zoos. Atayna chashin and shami yeshno. We have a brayta that says we are concerned. So lokash v'kudish yavada v'kudish yisofik. You're right. And if a fellow can't produce witnesses, then we do say there's kudish yisofik. But if he has witnesses, then it's kudish yavada. Amanat sharech matayim zoos. So Tana lom kavna ala rod mishalo. As we said in our analysis of the Mishnah, when he says, on condition that I show you 200 zoos, what he meant was, what she understood was 200 zoos that he owns. And therefore, Marala al-Shulchan, and Makudesh, it's a pshita. Obviously, if he shows her somebody else's money, it's no good. So, Lotzrichan of Agav Denaka Dami Biyiska. Even though that's money that he's involved in investing, nonetheless, it's not good because what she intended was to see 200 zoos that he has free and clear. Okay, the next Mishnah Gimel, just picks up exactly where we left off Mishnah Bet. Amanat sheish li beit kur afar. He says, I have a certain amount of land. Harezim kudeshet. This is arable land. V'yeshlo. Again, he has to prove it. Amanat sheish li makom ploni. And he says, on condition I have a beit kur afar in a particular zone or area. Mishto vato makom kudesh v'lam kudeshet. That makes a difference. It has to be there. Amanat sharech beit kur afar. On condition that I show you that amount of land. Harezim kudeshet v'yarena. He has to show it to her. If he shows it to her in some desolate valley, anima kudeshet. It has to be stuff that he owns. Venechu Shema Yeshlo. So the Gemara immediately says, even if he can't prove that he has Beit Kofar, why aren't we concerned that he does have it? And just like we saw earlier, we do have such a concern. So, the answer again, like we had before, is you're right, it'll be Kedusha Safek. The question is, why did we need Mishnah Bet about money and Mishnah Gimel about land? So, if I mention it in the context of money, people can hide money. When it comes to land, I would think if the man has land, everybody knows about it. And therefore, if he doesn't have testimony that he has the land, we'll say there's no land and there's no kiddushin at all, not misafik. Kamash malan, that it is kiddushay safik. Alright, I'm not the yeshishtim akomploning. Yeshtot tzera pshita. Again, the condition was on having land in a particular location. Obviously, it has to be there. He could turn around and say, what do you care where it is? I'm going to go bring produce from there, wherever it may be. So Kamash Malan, that when he made the condition on the land being in a particular place, that was the condition of the Kedushin. I'm not sure Ech Beit Kur Afar, so Tana Lon Kavnazu Elorot Mishalo, exactly as we had with the money. She intended not to see that amount of land, but that amount of land that he owns. Rabba Bika in a Mekudeshet, again, Pshita, so Lotzrich Tanakit Bidistura. It could be that his land he's pointing to that he himself is a sharecropper on. Again, if he doesn't own it, that doesn't count. Now, the one thing we're going to settle here is Gabe Hektesh Tanan in the context of Hektesh. And the issue here is, when he says Beit Kur Afar, what if he has a Beit Kur Afar, but it's not all usable, or it's not all even? So in the context of Hektesh, we have the Mishnah that says, Amakdish Sadeh V'Shat HaYovel, if you're Makdish your field at the moment of Yovel. If you have if you have zera chomer seorim, that shear, then you have to pay 50 shekel kasef, as the Torah says. Let's say there are trenches or mounds or hills in the middle of this property, 10 tefachim or higher. Einim dadima, they don't count, which means you count only the land that's part of the even land. Pachon mikan, if they're smaller than that, meaning not as deep or not as high, nim tadinima, then they're measured with it. And that's the Mishnah. Avinimba, in the context of that Mishnah, we said, nihi debahadi ara lo kadshu, I understand that the hekdesh shouldn't count with the high mounds or the low, or the deep trenches as part of the same land, nikdashu ba'apin afshayu, but there should be hekdesh on their own. Chitema kamar lo have a beit kur lo chashiv, you think that until you have a beit kur, it's not significant for hekdesh. Or minu, the pasuk says there chuzamasa de sadeh matam lomar. Why did it say sadeh? Shemar zera chamosorim v'chamishim. Ainly elashitish binyan hazeh. It's only I would think only if you dedicate a whole field. Minar about letach chatzit letach se'ah tarkav. It's a half a se'ah v'chatzit tarkav filu rova minayin. How do I know if you even dedicate a small piece of land that accounts? Tam lomar sadeh mikol makom. Anything that's a field. So therefore, even the little bits, the trenches, should be hekdesh independently, not as part of the other field. So the answer is, these are trenches that are full of water, and we would have to then assume that the mounds are hard rock. The idea is they cannot plantable. The issue is zerachomer sorim, what can be planted? And that's why the trenches were compared to rocks, not mounds. Shmamina. Alright, so good. Afilu achi pachot mikan nami. So even if they're lower or not as deep as that. So ani gagani da ara mikru. These are just called little bumps in the land. They're part of the same earth. Okay, shidu da ara mikru. Or they're called the skeleton or the framework of the land. Right, little bumps, little dips. Alright, they're all part of the land. Ten tefachim already makes them separate. Now that's as far as hekdesh goes, which means as far as hekdesh is concerned, even if you have tall or deep piece on the land, as long as they're all plantable, they all count. Maybe not towards one land, but they all count. But in the case of selling, we say, and you have such a situation with high rocks or low trenches, then they don't count towards your sale. If less than that, then they do count. Meaning, even if they're not full of water or hard rock. But person doesn't want to buy one field and have it look like it's two or three different fields with a big rock here and a trench over there. He wants to buy one field, which means even if it's plantable, it doesn't count. So the question is, hachamai, legabe using beit korafar as a tanai for kiddushin, do we say that it's like hekdesh, hekdesh midamin la, in which case we don't care about the high rocks or the deep trenches, unless they really are rock and trenches full of water and not plantable. But otherwise, a beit korafar, it doesn't matter what it looks like. Only mecher midamin la'aretz, is it more comparable to mecher, in which case, only if it's flat, with tiny little bumps and tiny little trenches, do we count it as a beit korafar. The answer is mistabra lahekdesh midamin la'aretz. It makes sense that it's like hekdesh, which, by the way, is more expansive. De'amar lana tarchanu is arano aitina. She said, what do you care? I'm going to go plant, and I'll bring you the produce, and you're going to get produce of beit korafar. So what do you care if some of it comes from a high bump or a low trench, even if it's 20 tefachim deep? I'll plant it. If it's not plantable, it's a different story. But beit korafar doesn't have to be flat necessarily, because, again, she's not going to be the owner. He's just demonstrating that he has it, and therefore she will have a source of income. All right, we'll pause at this point and pick up the next sugya. It's a beautiful sugya. It's the machloket Remeir and Chachamim about Tanai Kofol and about the Omish Patei Atznoim. Very, very important Yisodi Mishnah. We'll see you in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.